When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We are back with another episode of Boots, Balls and Bras with myself, Farrah Williams, Nancy Baker, and we have a special guest. So we have Man United Women's number one fan, Natalie. So Nat, thanks for joining us. I've brought you on the podcast and I'm glad you accepted the request, because every week you give me stick about Man United and you think that I back Mark Skinner every week. I believe the players at Man United feel differently. They think I criticise them quite a lot. But we had the Manchester derby at the weekend, Manchester City winning 3-1. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what's your thoughts on the derby?
Well, what can you think? You know, we got battered 3-1. You know, if you look at the stats, at the start, it was quite even. But I just think that I do sort of agree with what you say, Farrah. It is sort of down to the players. The players need to be there. But for me, I think the manager should be motivating you. I think a clear example of that is that they came out, it was 2-0 down. Yes, it was 2-0. You know, we lost our heads a bit. But that's the time when you go out and you fight back. And I just think 30 seconds it was. You know, people weren't even in the seats and they scored. What are you saying to them at half time that's making that goal go in? That's just why I think I'm on at you every time, because I hear you speak about Everton, I hear you speak about other teams, and then Mark, you just don't give it the same kind of energy. You don't go in on him.
You know what? It's not that I don't go in on him. I think Mark's a fantastic manager. I think he's a really good people person. I think as a manager, you need those skills. I think you've obviously lost a lot of backroom staff through the summer. I think a lot of Man United women's fans talk about the players that they lost in Russo and Badje. But actually, losing staff, coaches actually that are on the grass with the girls, I think has been huge for Man United this year. I mean, I don't know what you think, because when I seen that Martin left, and obviously we've seen what he's done at, is it Brown? Is that how you pronounce
it?
He's done a fantastic job. So do you think the losing the backroom staff has had a bigger impact than actually losing a couple of the players?
Yeah, definitely. Like Martin Ho, for me, I think he was a large part of the reason why we did so well last season. And obviously losing him isn't right. But I don't know how much Mark has a say, but the guy that he's brought in is called Dan Bale. He's obviously not got the same kind of reputation as Mark. We need to be bringing in top coaches. You see with Chelsea, they bring in like Tanya Oxtoby. You know, she was an ex-manager. These are the kind of people that you want to be bringing in that have that experience. So I don't know if it's he's picking people that he knows or what, because I think that the backroom staff is having more of an impact. So why aren't you bringing in the right people? Does he know the right people? I don't know. Is it the club? Yeah, I will blame the club, but I still think Mark should be doing more motivating them more. And in my opinion, I don't think he is a great people kind of coach. I don't think he speaks well about the players. I don't, when I hear him in press conference, I'm not inspired. So I think I'm not inspired. Other people that travel to the game, fans, hear him talk about, you know, even after the Champions League, the way he sort of blamed others and not taking responsibility. That's what's frustrating for fans. And that's why fans want to hear people like you, Farrah, say more.
I think Mark's honest. I think he's honest. I think when you listen to his interviews and look, he loves a story, so he does tell a story when he does an interview. But I think he's honest. I think he's honest in his assessment. I think if you heard what he said after the game yesterday, opening 20 minutes, United pretty much dominated, stopped the ball into Hasegawi, so the game plan was good. And then, you know, you conceded a goal that was offside, so Bonny Shaw's offside. Obviously, then that puts you on the back foot. So I think sometimes when he comes out in interviews, he's actually honest. And as I said to you, you lost two players and you replaced them with five or six in the summer. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think he could take full responsibility. I think he has to take some. But let me ask you on your thoughts on the overall season, because you're now sitting in fifth, 9 points off Arsenal, who are in third. Given where you finished last season, the success of last year and obviously a cup final, what's your thoughts of the season so far?
Not good enough. It's simple as that. I hear a lot of people as well saying, you know, Man United are expecting too much. We're not expecting too much. We're just expecting to compete, be there, fight. You know, if we had finished fourth, like we have done in previous season, you know, 1 point off fighting Arsenal, we're not doing that. We're just it feels like we're rolling over. We go into these places and it's just like you say, a goal that maybe shouldn't have been conceded. And then that's it. Bang. They're just going to go and win. Same at Stamford Bridge, same at the Emirates. You know, silly goals. And yeah, it's on the players. The players need to do more. But the thing with Mark as well that I know a lot of people are really frustrated is he's not giving anyone else a chance. He's got his team. And yeah, last season it did fantastic. You know, Zellum, Ladd, Toon, these were the kind of people you had. Bache, Russo. He didn't need to change it because he was winning. When you're not winning, mix it up. You've got World Cup winners. You've got, like you're saying, Hinata. I know there's been a lot of injuries. You've got Mallard. For me, that game yesterday was perfect. I mean, not yesterday, but at the weekend. Play Mallard because balls in the box weren't working. So get it on the floor. Play a through ball. I don't know. I'm not a coach. I'm not that kind of person. But if I'm seeing these things, I don't know.
Now I hear you. So, okay, so you're saying that, right? So they're a little bit of what's coming out of you, that players do need to take responsibility because, as you said, team hasn't changed much. You saw the fight that Man United had last year and the consistency they showed. They've lacked that a little bit this season. If you was to give your ideal United 11, then what would you be saying? Given how the players are performing now. Go on, let's see.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to probably criticise me for saying this, but maybe you won't play Mary. I'd like to see a bit more of Fallon Tullis-Joyce. I think she's come in top quality keeper. We've seen her in the County Cup and maybe not seen her as much. So, you know, we're playing Everton next week. So maybe give her a chance. That's what I think we need to see a bit more of. So maybe play her. I'd still keep it the same back line that we saw, you know, Hannah, Jade, Maya, Millie. And then I want to see, the problem with United, they've got a lot of players in midfield, but maybe not a lot of like defensive midfielders. So for me, I think he should have played Ladd and I'd like to see Ladd come back in. Lisa Nelson's doing really well. And then Tooney there. And then I'd want to see Jace, Mallard and Lucia Garcia. I think Jace and Mallard, that's what he should have been doing. Like you said, he brought in these players, build it around them, just play them, just throw them in. And then I think next year, you've got to build it around Grace Clinton. I know you're probably going to go on to Spurs, but world-class.
I know she is. I can't believe she's on loan. I can't believe you loaned her out. It blew my mind.
Do you think Grace is going to go back to United though? Like, honestly, do you think Grace will go back to
bigger club?
You think she will?
Yeah. Is she going to play Nancy?
That's my thing. So at United, there obviously was a plan in place for Grace to go out on loan and get those minutes, develop as a player. She is most certainly developed as a player, and she continues to do so. But she's at Tottenham. She seems very happy to me. She seems like she's enjoying herself. More importantly, she's getting on the pitch. She's getting England call-ups. Do you think she could be swayed to stay at Tottenham?
No.
You don't think so?
United are a bigger club. Let's be honest. Let's put it right. United are a bigger club, right? She's proved that she can play in the WSL consistently and deliver. So I think it was kind of a case is that she was at Bristol and he's probably thinking, let me give her another year. They also made signings to replace her for this season. Yeah. The players got injured. So in terms of that, I think you thought, okay, we'll let her out. We've got one that's just come in.
Yeah.
They have to bring her back, and I think they will. And I think she would be silly not to go back. That's what I genuinely think.
Yeah, I can just feel there's some sway that she could potentially want to stay at Spurs or just not go back to United. And I'm not saying that will or won't happen, but for me, I just feel like in the air, there's so much talk. Like, Nat, I think you'll agree with me on this. The amount of people that talk about how Grace is such a massive miss, what a player she is. She should be at United. The way she... I don't think she's been disrespected. I wouldn't go that far.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think she has been. But the fact of so many people, so many United fans are calling for Grace back and calling that she should be playing with United this season. I do feel like there could be, I don't know, like a bit of, will she go back? Will she go to another? I don't know. It's just...
We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
She wants to play. Like you're saying for her, she's playing week in, week out. She knows what she's doing. She had them England call-ups. So she's going to want to continue on that path. Good for her. Yeah, I'm delighted what she's doing. In a way, I sort of agree that, yeah, maybe she should have gone out because we had Hinata there. And, you know, was she going to get game time? But for now, for me, she comes back, she walks in that midfield.
Yeah. Oh, walks in, 100%, I agree. She walks into your midfield. And I think you should have brought her back in January. There should have been a clause that you could have brought her back. But as I said, it didn't happen, but...
Is he going to play, though? Is Mark going to play it? That's a question. For me, I think he's very set in his lineup and he won't change. So she's fighting for that spot that isn't there. So she might leave. That's what I'm saying.
So with the new ownership coming in as well, what changes do you want to see for the women's team? What comes to mind straight away? The first, like, give me two or three things, because I know you've probably got a whole list.
Yeah. I want more staff, not just on the ground. You know, manager, we've got our disagreements there. But whatever happens, I want that sorted now. I want them to come out and say, we're either giving them a contract or we're not. Stop messing around, waiting for this and that.
Sorry, let me interrupt you. Is he out of contract then at the end of the season?
Yeah, he's out of contract. So just say what's happening. Bang. That's the first thing. Secondly, I want more staff on the ground, more coaches. Like I'm saying, Chelsea have got world-class coaches everywhere. I want more people above. So there's talk that is Polly Bancroft is leaving, head of football, women's football, bringing her and bringing someone else and a head of recruitment and scouts. Things like that are what make the difference. Not just, yeah, there's players on the pitch. I think they're really good. And I think you need to invest in that. But
what areas then? Players on the pitch then, what areas?
Midfield. I want a CDM. That's what I think. Defensive midfielder. Get someone in there, breaking it up. And then, you know, you've got Lisa, you've got...
But you've got your captain. Katie Zellum's your captain.
What was that?
I'm saying Katie Zellum's your captain. Club captain.
Yeah, but, you know, no one's place should be guaranteed, in my opinion, in football. I think you play, whether you're the captain or not, you know, there's club captains that have played for Man United and they don't play. Harry Maguire was club captain. He didn't play for a bit. You play on your form, not on because you're the captain. I think she's a great captain. I think she has carried the girls when times were tough under Casey. I think she was there, like, and that's who the girls go to. And I think it's great, but I think you need someone to be competing with her a lot more.
Do you think the more you've got people, the more people you've got coming into the squad and competing for places, the more fight and drive there's going to be within the team to perform better and keep consistent? Because you talk about you want people to really turn up and fight for their spot. Is that why you want more players coming in naturally? So it is, I need to fight to be in this, I'm not guaranteed it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I look at, say, like Robert Villenhelm. He's the kind of manager that I would like because he's got a good style. But, you know, I look at someone like that and, you know, people are coming in and, you know, it's Beth England versus Martha Thomas. It's not kind of, you know, anyone's set. It's whoever's playing the best gets to play. And I feel like that keeps you on your toes. That's, if you know someone's on your back and breathing down your neck, you're going to perform at a standard. We see it with Chelsea. If you don't play well, you're off first half, second half. And I just feel like that's not there at Man United.
Yeah, and do you know what, Nat? Really fair points that you give there. I appreciate your time, but we're going to have to say goodbye because we need to do the rest of the podcast, analyse your team without you listening to us, and you can listen and tune in for the podcast later. Yeah, thanks for your time.
Nice one, Nat.
Thank you. Cheers. Thanks a lot. Bye.
So we've heard from Manchester United women's biggest fan, Natalie, and we really appreciate her time. It was good to hear a fan's point of view. We normally have expertise on the show, so it was nice to hear a different view about what they want at United. But we have to talk about the game, because for 20 minutes, I actually thought Man United went in with a really good game plan. I think they, you know, stifled City to, I think a shot from distance in that opening 20 minutes. Nikita Paris had a big chance. Maybe could have gone across the face of the goal. And if they'd have gone 1-0 up in that period, I think the game could be different. But we heard Mark Skinner's interview at the end and he was disappointed with the opening goal. And we're going to talk about refereeing or officiating over the weekend, because that was a big talking point throughout the WSL. But do you think, you know, that given the goal and it was offside, do you think that had a big impact on United and how they come back from that?
Yeah, definitely. I remember watching the game. I was at a different game, but I was watching the game on the telly. And the first thing I did notice was Bonnie's movement. She was in an offside position and then come back through. And it's frustrating, isn't it? Because realistically, when stuff like that happens and you can see it very clearly, especially on the pitch, your first thought is to sort of pull up on it, and then you lack in concentration and you sort of pause and stop. And that's happened in a few other games throughout the weekend as well, because of the decision making. And I think it's going to cause a lot of frustration as well, because you're kind of like, we've been down.
I agree, right? I agree that, like, you know, when you're offside, so they knew it was offside, and Emily Turner put her hand up. She knew they were offside. There was still a phase that went on after
you still
that,
need to
and
play,
they
though,
still
don't
had
you?
Enough yeah. bodies behind
yeah.
the ball.
Yeah.
To clear their lines, and they didn't. And Jess Park is just free in the box. How are they defending like that?
Yeah,
more than anything.
It's one of those, isn't it? I can say you lapse in concentration and you sort of call for what you want and that, but then you're also always taught to play to the whistle, aren't you?
Yeah, so they should have played on.
It's hard though, because you're in the moment. Like, it's one of those things. I think we can always talk about it because it's always going to happen. Yeah. The frustration and wanting the call, but also playing to the whistle.
Yeah.
And yeah, talking about Jess Park, she was just...
She was very good.
She was on fire.
She was very good.
That was her first two league goals as well.
WSL goals. But you know what? She got two goals, one assist. 93% park accuracy, and chances created were 4. So that's big from a midfielder. Yeah. Let me talk about Hannah Blundell, because you talk about moments in the game. She got an early yellow card for Fowler when she came in on Fowler. For me, I mean, I heard Anita say on the women's football show she didn't think it was a yellow. For me, her foot was high. Mm-hmm. And I think she went down the back of her calf. It's a yellow card. Moments later, a clear clip on Bonnie Shaw.
Yeah.
And the referee signals a goal kick. What was your thoughts on that? Should she have been on the pitch?
It's
don't sit on the fence.
I'm not. It's just refereeing, isn't it? Like, it's what the, unfortunately, it's what the referee says goes.
Mm.
It's one of those. And I think Hannah will probably be a bit relieved that she didn't get pulled up on it. Well, very relieved.
I think she knew. I think if you see her reaction, she's like, whoa, I've got away with that one.
Yeah.
You know, as a player, you want a yellow card and you clip somebody.
It's very sticky stepping, isn't it? When you're on a yellow, it's just risky business for the duration that you're on that pitch.
Yeah.
As soon as, like, when I was playing, I didn't really get carded, but I knew if I was to get carded, for me, I'm like, oh, now I'm like having to step really lightly. So I can imagine that also is in the back of her head as she's playing.
So Jess Park gets obviously a second goal, another well taken goal. Again, for me, I just thought the defending wasn't great.
It's a great,
you know,
volley.
Blindside. That was the first volley. The second one, not the blindside on the back post. I just thought the defending, I thought, was poor from Man United with the goals. But let's talk about Bunny Shaw's goal, because it come 30 seconds into the second half. So after the restart, she scores. She also becomes Manchester City's record goal scorer.
Yeah.
But in the build up to that,
she took over George Stanway, and
with, I think, less games as well. So, I mean, a goal to game ratio is unbelievable. But in the build up, the way that Jess Park bullied Katie Zellum off the ball to assist Bunny Shaw, and then Bunny Shaw, the way she took that goal, I mean, unbelievable. But what can we say? You know, we always talk about LJ.
But Bunny's
performance.
Well.
Yeah, I know the initial one, but I just thought her take and the way that she finished it was unbelievable.
I love watching Bunny play. I say it week in, week out. I'm like a broken record, and yeah, she's getting the flowers she deserves. She's hitting these milestones, and I personally just love to see it. And I think she's just going to continue to fly.
Yeah, well, we'll have to, you know, Man United gets a late deflected goal from Hannah Blundell.
I would have been really frustrated if I was the goalkeeper, because it, Kiara would have wanted to keep that, and it was literally just a deflection.
I know, it was a harsh deflection. Obviously, the game finished 3-1, but there was comments after the game. Gareth was asked about Chloe Kelly and why she was in the starting 11, but we'll move on to that because I think that was part of our fans' question, so we'll talk a little bit more about that, because she's hasn't started in the last few games. In my opinion, I think it might be because she'll be moving on at the end of the season potentially, so we'll move on to that. But other games, we really did hype up the Merseyside derby.
Yeah, we did.
And that game finished 0-0, and Matt Beard's comments after
didn't
the game,
see any excitement, no, on
nothing,
socials or anything. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Matt Beard after the game, he said it didn't feel like a derby, it was a goalless draw at Goodison Park. But Liverpool do move into fourth with that point, and obviously Man United's defeat, so
points are important, isn't it? Yeah, especially,
exactly. What do you make of the game?
I didn't actually watch any of it. I didn't get to watch it.
Good job you didn't miss anything.
Well, exactly. So when I went to look back on socials, because when I can't watch a game, I will flood through socials to see different clips, pick up key findings, etc. That's one of my main go-tos. Yeah. I like to see what fans are saying, etc. Even when I was looking, I was like, what have I missed? But yeah, I apparently didn't.
It was a goalless draw in the Merseyside derby, and it was at Goodison Park, so it was a disappointing one, so we won't really have much to say on that one. But Tottenham beat Bristol away, and obviously your girl Beth England back in the starting 11 and scores a goal within 2 minutes. What do you make of that?
Well, it's sort of a replay of the week before when Spurs score early and then there's no goals for the rest of the game. Happy for Beth. It's her first of the league. First
goal this season.
Yeah, first league goal this season.
She was out injured for most of the first part
of the
season.
So, saying that feels so wild. I know she's injured, but it still feels very wild off the back of last year. It's good to see her on the score sheet. I think I'm obviously happy.
Yeah.
It's going to give her absolute buckets of confidence as well to be starting, to be scoring. It sort of, I'm back. That's what I hope she's going in the mentality. But a close game for Bristol.
It was. And you know what? Bristol have done so well and stayed in games for long periods. They just don't have that cutting edge, do they? And it does look as if Bristol will be the team that gets relegated at the end of the year. But that does mean that Beth England reached 70 goals in a WSL the only second player to do that after Vivian Miedema. So, I mean, huge credit to her, and I'm sure she'll go on to score many more. Let's move on to West Ham against Chelsea, and there was some big refereeing decisions in this game that probably didn't go West Ham's way. I thought Chelsea, I mean, they scored early. I don't know if you saw LJ's assist, but, mate, naughty. And that whole Chelsea goal, the first goal in the opening 2 minutes was unbelievable. But after that, I thought their defending in the first half, I don't think it was great.
West Ham gave them a game.
We heard Emma Hayes talk about, you know, out of possession, Chelsea weren't at their best. Yeah, West Ham had chances after that Chelsea opener. And Kirsty Smith at the back post, how she did not hit the target.
Oh, we was all sat there. We all went, I'm like, what?
Yeah,
even
help me.
Vivian had chances though. Yeah. Vivian had a chance, and normally.
Yeah, but that was the clearest. That one, no, that Kirsty Smith. Chance, I'm like, that has to hit the back of the net.
There was multiple chances that West Ham had. Oh, and that
they had the same amount of shots at goal and chances at goal.
I was sat there when that Vivian won, and I was like, normally she'd at least get that on target. And again, she just skied it. And the same with Kirsty Smith, and you're just sitting there and you're like, oh my, like, as a neutral, my hand was on my head. I was like, what's going on?
And it was mad. I can't believe, as you say, West Ham had chances. They had a goal disallowed.
And it wasn't offside.
It was clearly onside. The replay show, it was clearly onside. So that would have put them at 1-1.
Not happy after the game. Her post-match, she went in a little bit. It's just not acceptable. She said it just keeps.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's happening.
It's true. But then what did Chelsea do? Go on to do Chelsea things, and they end up winning the game 2-0 with a late goal from Erin Cuthbert. And dominate, you know, I mean, in terms of not performing but getting a result, that is something that champions do, and Chelsea did that and showed that again against West Ham. We have to mention though, Frank Kirby, 200 appearances for Chelsea. We could reel off the amount of things that she's won and everything while she's been at Chelsea, but big congratulations to Frank Kirby on that 200th Chelsea appearance, and the amount of injuries she's had to have that many games. Unbelievable. But the most frustrating game of the weekend for me was Aston Villa against Arsenal. Aston Villa had one shot at goal,
gate.
One on target, one goal. Arsenal had 37 attempts at goal and only scored 3 second half goals.
You know,
I mean, I don't even know what to say about them anymore.
Have you seen the meme where it's like, I think it's Leah Williamson and she's like shooting practice in the morning?
I don't even
Gets know. Me every time.
You have to show it me. But what do you make of that game?
So Ebony Salmon scored.
Yeah, poor defending.
But she scored. Yeah. And we was talking about her coming in and being confident from the week before scoring. I do think when that happened, I was like, oh, this is a game. I was on social media. People were like, Arsenal going to win. Why are people fretting? Yeah. Da, 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 da. Arsenal going to win. Don't fret. But yeah.
We've had so many fans talking about, is it Jonas? Is it the players? What's going wrong at Arsenal?
Well, the game was delayed as well.
Of course, for travel reasons.
It's all the gates happening for Arsenal. Gate, travel gate.
Yeah, they've had a few blockages. But obviously, again, there was another goal in that game from Arsenal that potentially was offside. But they won the game 3-1. They keep themselves in contention for that top three and you know, pushing City and Chelsea for the title, which I think they're way off at the minute. But that pretty much rounds up WSL for this week. But as you mentioned at the top of the show, there was huge, huge officiating in the WSL that fans was not happy with. Firstly, the yellow card to Hannah Blundell. Should she have been sent off? We spoke a little bit about that. In my opinion, I think if she gets a yellow for the first, she has to get a yellow for the second. That's just my opinion on that. Don't know if you... Well, we heard yours earlier. The Bunny Shaw offside, huge talking point. Yeah. If they give that offside, Man City don't go at 1-0. Does it change the game? West Ham goal disallowed. If it wasn't disallowed, Do they get a point from the game against Chelsea? Blackstenius' goal, obviously offside. Rian Skinner says after the game, in a Tottenham game which West Ham lost 4-3, we get an apology after the game for a goal that should never have stood for offside. I'm getting a bit sick of it, to be honest. If VAR is the road we need to go down to get the results, then that's what we should be doing. Ultimately, referees aren't professional in the game, so they're not in a position where they solely focus in on these games. That's got to change. The game has got so much to grow in to do. It's not right across all the board. What's your take on those comments from Rian Skinner? Because she was fuming at the end of the game.
She was not happy. I do agree in terms of the referees in the WSL aren't full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And it does reflect. It does make reflections of the game. And I think for the game to continue to grow and officiate and to be of top-tier caliber, referees do need to be full-time. Do you know what I mean? It's they're coming into games and they need to be getting the right practice, the right development continuously, not just as they're doing their courses. And that doesn't mean they're not doing stuff outside of these games and developing by themselves. I honestly couldn't tell you what they're doing because I don't know. But
listen, I've been to some of the referee stuff and the referees work tremendously hard.
I don't doubt it. Themselves. It's so difficult.
My frustration with managers in the WSL crying out for VAR is that they say in one breath that the referees are not professional, right? They're not full-time.
Mm.
But they want to jump past trying to make full-time professional referees and jump straight to VAR. You have to make the rest professional first. Give them a chance.
I think
we're trying to jump before we... Yeah. Or what is it? Run before you can walk, whatever the saying is. It's I don't agree.
I think VAR, for me, completely slows games down. I think it takes from football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff where a goal will go in, players celebrate, then they stop, then it goes to VAR, fans stop celebrating. For me, it just feels like a whole moment that's just completely flooded and taken away. And I don't really like it. I think it takes away from football, the game of football, where it's you're in the moment. It completely saturates that moment.
So I'm glad you've just answered my next question. Do we want VAR in a women's game? You've pretty much said no. I do not want VAR in a women's game.
No, I just think the
goal line technology would be the only thing that I would probably agree. Look, I'm always, you know, the thingy, there's human error. There'll be some things that go your way and there'll be things that go against you. And that's just the way it is. But yeah, right now, I think there's far more things that need to be done within the game before we go and pay millions of pounds out for VAR. And even that we've seen in a men's game, it doesn't work great anyway. But I also think some people, in terms of rules of the game or laws of the game, should we say, I don't even think that we all know them well enough all of the time to be saying that referees have made wrong decisions. I think that we have to check ourselves a little bit, players, staff and whatever, because, you know, I've been and seen how these referees train, and they train a lot harder than we probably think that they do.
You know,
it was an eye-opener for me on that.
You talk about as well all the money that would go into VAR. How can that money go into the women's game
in a
better way? But yeah, talking of VAR, it's going to be used at the Connie Cup final, which we're going into.
Yeah, so that pretty much is the officiating of the weekend. We could go on and on about it. As I said, some things go your way, some don't. But there was a weekend of frustration for many teams in the WSL. But we will move on to the fixtures this weekend. And obviously there's a massive Conti Cup final between Arsenal and Chelsea again. So
red,
repeat
versus
two.
Blue.
Chelsea, Arsenal. She's obviously support Arsenal. I support Chelsea. So it's a repeat of last year's final where Arsenal won 3-1. Do you think Chelsea or Arsenal win this game? We'll go straight into it.
I think Chelsea will win.
What makes you think that?
I think they're going to obviously push for as many trophies as they can. With Emma leaving, there's a lot of pressure on that. Chelsea are just a relentless team, aren't they? Chelsea just do Chelsea things. I do want a good game, though. I do not want a repeat of the game at Stamford Bridge in terms of how Arsenal turn up. I want Arsenal to turn up. And you never know. They could come back with a vengeance, as we spoke about last week.
Arsenal do love cup finals. I'll give them that. They are the team of cup finals. But I was half thinking, when I saw this fixture, and obviously it comes between the first leg of the Champions League where Chelsea played Ajax, and obviously the second leg of the Champions League. But now Chelsea are 3-0 up. I was half thinking, if that game, you know, that result against Ajax wasn't as comfortable as it was in terms of 3-0, I was a bit like, what are Chelsea going to do in this cup final? Now I'm a bit like, they've got a 3-0 lead. They could potentially make a few changes on Wednesday of next week. And I think actually, the Wednesday is this week.
Yeah, it's this week.
So they can make changes. And I feel like they can have a full squad going into that final on Sunday. I don't know if you think that impacts it.
Yeah, definitely, because Emma's got two competitions to think about.
Mm.
And as you say, being 3-0 up in the first leg is going to make her feel potentially not fully relaxed, but there is a little bit of leeway. They played incredibly well against Ajax as well, I thought. So, yeah, I do think she can experiment a little bit more. And it's a home fixture, the second leg. It's at the Bridge. Yeah. So, yeah, I just want it to be a good game. And I think it will be because, as I said last week, Arsenal won't want to play how they played at the Bridge. So how do you think both teams are going to go into this Conte Cup final? What do you think they're bringing to the table tactically? How are they adapting? Do you think Chelsea are going to try and take out certain players of, not literally, of Arsenal?
I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think both games, I think the game at the Emirates was completely different to the game at Stamford Bridge. And obviously, the one at Stamford Bridge has been recent and Chelsea have had a lot of injuries and had to adapt their tactics, which I think took us all by surprise. I think Nuskin, I think her, you know, Emma Hayes brought her in as a centre mid. That's her natural position. We obviously seen her play centre half. And the way that she's used her as a centre forward alongside Lauren James, I think has really worked. I think her work ethic, I think her game understanding to be able to adapt. I think the way that she marked Lear out of the game, or at least cut off the supply from Arsenal in that game at Stamford Bridge, really stifled Arsenal's play. I think Chelsea could approach the game similar. Mm. I think they could approach it where they do stop Lear from playing, because I think that's a key attribute of Arsenal's. And I think they really dominated in those wide areas. I think they got in behind the Arsenal fullbacks. I think they'll probably think, you know, to use that. They've obviously got Ramirez returning from injury, which is huge positive for them. So I think Emma will have to think how she can fit, or where she'll fit her Nuskin and Lauren James, because I think they need to be, you know, within the starting 11 in the game against Arsenal. So I think she could adopt, I think, similar tactics, and I still think it will hurt Arsenal. For me, Arsenal, I think, one, they have to put Katie McCabe in a better position. I think they have to not give up as many crossing opportunities as they do. I think that, you know, certainly when they're in wide areas, they give up a lot of crossing opportunities.
Do you feel like Katie McCabe's been quite quiet recently?
Yeah, but I think she's been put right back. She's played left back. She's played left mid. She's played right. So I think that she hasn't really had that consistency of a position to get that consistency of play. So I think, you know, I don't think they've helped her. I think, you know, we saw how impactful she was last year on the wing. And then we've seen her play most of this season at fullback. So I think that's been difficult for her. I think Arsenal have to find a way of playing from the back, from the back without Leah, if Chelsea are to stop them playing. But they have to be better in the final third. I think for Arsenal, if you look over recent games, they've created lots of chances. Not many clear-cut chances, but they've created lots of chances. They get into the final third, you know, on many occasions. They just don't finish. So I think if they are to beat Chelsea, they have to be clinical, because when you play top opposition, if you are not clinical, you lose the game. Yeah. And I think that's something that Jonas has to say. I don't think they'll be worried about not creating chances, because they can do that. But I do think if they play Russo and Blackstenius, that could be, you know, certainly could work for Arsenal going into that game. I think, you know what, I would even play Katie McCabe, you know, in wide areas, and maybe it will be out of Ford and Beth Mead who gets dropped in that front line. That's just my opinion. Yeah. I think you could maybe play Russo a little bit deeper, because I think Russo's better if she has somebody stretching play. She can do that. I like her when she does that, but she can also drop into pockets, and we see her do that often. But when she's in the pockets, Arsenal haven't got midfielders now that run beyond her. So I think that Blackstenius can stretch the play, and I think that opens up the play for Arsenal. So I think that's something that Jonas potentially could consider going into that cup final. But let's give a score prediction and be ruthless. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
2-1 Chelsea, and I'm praying that it's a good game.
2-1. All right, I'm gonna say something different. I was gonna say that, but I'm gonna go 2-0 Chelsea. Cool. So match day 18 predictions. This is my favourite part of the podcast, where we get our sponsor from one of the betting companies and they allow us to do an accumulator. But outside of the Conte Cup final, we have Aston Villa taking on Leicester. How do you think that game goes? You know what? I'm going to put it here. I'm going to go Leicester to beat Villa.
You think?
I just said it.
Hmm.
Get your Villa shirt off.
Get your Villa shirt off. Do you know what? I could actually see this ending as a draw.
Oh, good prediction. Liverpool, Man City.
City
away win. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Man United, Everton. This is tough. But I'm going to probably go a Man United win.
I think I'm going to also go for a Man United win.
West Ham, Brighton. This is another tricky one. I'm going to go West Ham.
West Ham are at home and they need a win. But they've also potentially lost Minnie because she come off injured, which I think is a massive loss because she is an incredible player. And Brighton got a win over the weekend. I think we could potentially see another draw, you know, with a couple goals.
So you've gone with a couple draws. So there's two accumulators for you. I'm going with a West Ham win. No draws in this weekend's fixtures, in my opinion. Two draws for Nancy. But that's our match day 18 WSL predictions for the weekend. So we have a few fans' questions. We'll fly through them. So do you prefer when teams turn up to games in matching outfits, suit style like City did this derby, own fashion style like Barcelona or club tracksuits?
This question was made for me. I just love women's football fashion. Okay. I don't think there was enough attention on Manchester City turning up in those suits because I was just here for it. The way different people were rocking it. I love how people accessorize differently to show their styles.
Mm-hmm.
But I am also a really, really big fan. And I think it comes back to the comment I just made. When people are dressed similar, the little things that they do to stand out. So I do love it when players also just come in their own style, their own setup, how they're feeling comfortable. And they're just in that, this is me, this is who I am. I'm just here for people being able to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it adds a different element to the women's game. And we need more women's football fits and it to be highlighted and really taken seriously.
So you think a match day, you think that it looks better, it's better for players to come and wear whatever they want to wear that makes them feel comfortable. I'm old school, maybe my age and all of that, but I'm somebody that like, look, club tracksuits.
Yeah.
Match day, club tracksuits. And I was even one of those that when we used to play, you know, in the summer, international football, and, you know, the girls, when it was a hot day, would want to wear the shorts and T-shirt. I just think it looks scruffy. I think that you should wear your match day tracksuit. Even if it's hot.
So
I think you're only turning up. You're getting it off when you get in there. Yeah.
So you don't think...
No, I don't like when people come in their own stuff.
So you don't...
And like, I don't like suits.
So you don't like the suits?
Suits is too...
If they're all wearing the suits, you don't like it. You think it should be club tracksuits.
Yeah. Mate, you want to be comfortable, right? You want to be comfortable. A tracksuit you can get in any size and it's comfortable. You can wear it how you want. Fitted or you can wear it baggy, right? So you can wear a tracksuit how you want. Suits are just a note, like, you're just too stiff. I feel like I'm going to a meeting or like whatever. Or flipping interview. Not for me, suits. I don't mind the whole wearing your own stuff and feeling comfortable and being who you are and being unique to who you are. But I just think on a match day, they do that every day in training. They turn up how they want for training. I just think on a match day, you're together traveling as a team. I think it looks better.
Do you think it looks more professional as well?
Much more professional. But that's just my opinion. But I mean, yeah, I get the whole fashion thing and people like to showcase themselves. Yeah. But for me, it's not about that on a match day. Your focus purely should be on the game. That's my opinion. But that's a great question. I really enjoyed that one. Thoughts on Sonia Bonpastor, likely appointment to Emma Hayes' successor at Chelsea. What's your thoughts on that?
I still don't know what's happening.
I think that would be a great appointment, by the way. Only female coach head coach to win the Champions League.
I just feel like I don't even know what's happening with this situation now because obviously her name's still there and it's been fluctuated about, but I just want to know now. I feel like I'm over it. I just want to know who's... No, genuinely, I get to the point where I get really excited. I get really excited about it. And I'm like, oh, what's happening? What's happening? And it's just like, I feel like this has been ages. And I'm like, can you just tell us who's coming in now so we can just know?
So basically, I'm saying it would be a fantastic appointment. And Nancy's just saying, just tell us who it's going to be.
Yeah, please.
Okay, that's what you wanted. Good answer. You could have just shortened it down. Right now, who are your top five players across all leagues?
Lauren James, Bon Matty's just a
ridiculous
top class player.
You know what, Graham Hansen in that as well.
Yeah, Graham Hansen.
I think you have to
should
put
we
him
do
in.
A little, should we do it together? And
I think LJ has to be in. I think we've put her in already. Yeah. Bonnie Shaw has to be in.
I'd throw Bonnie in there as well.
Bon Matty, Graham Hansen, and let me think. Who really stands out across all leagues? Do you know what? I don't really watch much of the NWSL, I'm not going to lie. So I've been watching Champions League stuff and WSL, but not NWSL.
Do you know, do you know who I just love as a player? And she scored on the weekend. And I just think she's such an unbelievable player. Ji So Young.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what she's done in the WSL before.
Is she one of the top five? But I just thought I'd give her a shout out. Like, she's just such a good
player.
Oh my God,
how are we not even saying, what's her name? Who's the Barcelona striker? I can't even, Paraleo, is that how you pronounce it? Yes, that's her. So she's in it. Five, three from Barcelona.
Is that how you pronounce her name?
Paraleo? It is my Spanish. Yeah, it's there you go. What was the... there was one more fans question, and that is, what is your thoughts on Chloe Kelly not playing at the moment?
I'm baffled by it.
I was baffled, but you know what I'm thinking? I'm baffled because they're obviously in a title race. Yeah. So it baffles me. You'd want to... I mean, not that Fowler's coming in done a fantastic job. Chloe Kelly was playing well up until she was dropped. There was obviously the rumours about Chloe Kelly potentially moving in the summer.
Mm.
In my head, I think that is part of the reason. This is my opinion. That is part of the reason why Gareth is not playing her.
Because?
She's going to move in the summer.
But?
Don't butt me. I think that's my reason.
No, yeah.
You've seen how Ellie Roebuck's been treated.
No, I know, but that's, for me, that's not cool. Just because...
Of course it's not cool.
If
that's
you think
opinion.
A player's going to potentially move on and she's a good
that's
player...
That's my opinion.
No, I know. I'm not arguing with your opinion. I'm just saying, me as a manager, I would probably do what I can to keep that player of class rather than just being like, okay, cool, you're not going to play, you can just go in the summer. Like, I personally don't run with that.
That's you, but you're not going to play.
Look,
players, I think once a
would
player...
Would you do that as a manager?
No,
if you
I wouldn't.
Player...
But what I'm saying is that once in your mind as a player, you're set on leaving. Now, I don't know if this is true. This is just me hearing rumours in the media that there's a potential move for Chloe in the summer. Once it's in your head that you're moving, you're done. So I don't think, even if you was to play and even if a manager was to sweet you up, I don't think that brings you back round to staying.
Yeah, but you still...
I don't, that's just my opinion.
You still
opinion.
Play for
but I
team.
Wouldn't be a manager that would be that stubborn to go, even though you've had this much impact in the last 4 years, I'm not going to play you because you're not going to be here come the summer. Especially when you're in a title race.
But even as a player, you still play your heart out week in, week out.
And she did.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
She does that,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Chloe, in my opinion, I don't think Chloe's going to... be like, if there is a move on the cards, I don't think she's gonna be like, oh, there's a move on the card, so actually I'm just gonna sit back and relax and not give it 100%. I'd still think she's gonna play, she's gonna ball out,
of course.
So for me, Man City do have options and they are rotating and they're changing it up, but a lot of people are questioning why Chloe Kelly isn't getting the minutes, and rightly so.
She's a baller. Agreed. But that wraps up BBB for this week. Thank you for your questions. And we will see you again next week.
Bye.
Adios.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.